Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I want to take a moment at the beginning of this program of Easter Monday. Notice it's Easter Monday. Yesterday was Easter Sunday. We have an octave here. We actually have 50 days of celebration. We had 40 days of fasting and penance. We have 50 days up to Pentecost to celebrate the resurrection of the Son of God in a particular way, a heartfelt way. Don't act like the world. You know how it is. Even before Christmas Day is here, they've got Valentine's Day cards or St. Patrick's Day cards on the racks. We put aside, we move ahead. It's all based on commercialism. It's all based on consumerism. What can we sell? How can we make money? How much more money can we make? And we stop celebrating even before sundown. We've moved into a new era if you listen to the TV or the radio. But brothers and sisters, the truth is we have 50 days to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Take it. Use it. Do something in your own life. Do something in your family to commemorate day in and day out of these marvelous days, especially this week known as Easter week. It's not just yesterday, it's Easter week. I keep saying that because I want you to get it in your head. This is Easter Monday, and we Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. What God wants you to do is rejoice in what he's done for you. But if you don't grasp at all what he's done for you, why would you rejoice? And that's where most of the world is. Oh yeah, Easter eggs, family gathering, yeah. And that's all that they envision it to be. When in reality, we're celebrating the enormity of the event that set you and I free forever, that we will live forever, that death will not have the final word. The curse is broken by Christ's death upon the cross. It's yours and it's mine. So let's lift up our hearts today and celebrate it this Easter Monday. And the first reading for today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and then verses 22 to 33. On the day of Pentecost, so this is 50 days here of celebration, so we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words." Do you see what's happened to Peter? Look what the power of the resurrection and God's forgiveness did in the life of Peter, the one who denied him. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how deep or how wide our sin is. If we repent for it and turn around, God will restore. And restore far beyond. It's not restoring just back to what our life was, but restoring us in Christ to the fullness of life flowing through us. That's what Christ does. He dwells in us, and he leads us into the fullness of life if we accept him. If we allow him, if we make the decision, Lord Jesus Christ, reign over my life, rule in my life, set me free from sin and death, direct me, and I will follow you. Peter says, "You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him." Notice, there's no fear. He's saying, you are the ones who set Jesus Christ up, so to speak. You delivered him. You killed him. You used lawless men to crucify him, but God raised him up. Look at the courage. God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, and then he quotes from David, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. God makes known to each of us who accept him as Lord and Savior the paths of life. And we are filled with joy, even in the midst of carrying our cross. Oh, it's not the exultant joy in certain circumstances, but it is a joy that I am doing what God wants, and an eternal reward awaits me. There's joy in that. And it sustains us and encourages us to persevere in the way God has set for us. My brothers, says Peter, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set up one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear. They're eyewitnesses. They don't quite know what they saw. Peter's telling them, keep me safe, O God. You are my hope. Keep me safe in your truth. Keep me safe in your promises. Keep me safe in faith that what you tell me is true, that what you have done for me is true, that what you offer me is true, that I will live with you forever. That is true. Do I live out of those truths? Or do I get submerged in the values of this life that never, ever fully satisfy, or only momentarily? Nothing can satisfy us except union with God himself. That's what we were made for. And he so loved you and me that he made it possible for us to be with him forever by dying for us. Every one of us can say, somebody died for me that I might live. Because he died for each individual. He didn't die for a mass crowd of billions of people. He died for each one of us. You are loved. You are loved so much that someone died for you and rose for you. The gospel for today, Matthew 28, verses 8 to 15. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Can you imagine what that would be like? To have seen someone crucified, horrendous death. Death of agony, prolonged, intense suffering. They saw him die. He was buried. And now they hear the news, and then they meet Jesus. Jesus appears to them on the way. And they bow down before him, and Jesus says, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Do you realize that Mary Magdalene was one of the first disciples of the Lord to proclaim the good news? Think about that. A public sinner. Jesus appears to her, resurrected in glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, how much he loves us. And when he has forgiven us our sin, it's gone. Don't relate out of it. When God forgives, God forgets. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. And the chief priest assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep." Bribery. Bribery, rampant. Look at that. And what did the soldiers do? Soldiers, most of them probably without any faith, they took it. They took the money. They did as they were told. "And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't like and we don't give credence to, we don't believe in anything we can't control. You'd think that some of those chief priests and the elders would have said, "Well, wait a moment. If he is risen, but he couldn't be, but he might be, but he couldn't be." They gave in to their doubts, they gave in to the reality that this was not in accord with nature and therefore it was impossible. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're so dumb, really dumb. When there's a power greater than we are, and God is the greatest of all power, it behooves us to pay attention even when what he tells us doesn't make immediate sense. Because we're so, as I've said so often, we're so earthly bound, we're no heavenly good sometimes. We can't see beyond the nose on our face. Brothers and sisters, God wants to give us faith. You will not be duped. You will never be duped. What God says is true. And you have disciple after disciple here. Took them, few of them, a few days. But you have disciple after disciple consenting. And we're going to read that through the scriptures this week. Ask God yourself for greater faith. Oftentimes I pose the question to myself, just in my own prayer. I say, do I really believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified and died for me, has risen from the dead? And I search my own soul, and I say, yes, I believe. There's great grace, brothers and sisters. There's great grace. And I pray that if I'm ever confronted by enemies of Christ or enemies of the church who ask me to deny my faith, I will be able to persevere because I have day in and day out faced myself and my own weaknesses. It doesn't mean I've conquered them, but I've faced them and I've made the right choice. I do believe, help my unbelief. It's a certain way, brothers and sisters, where you can evangelize yourself. Take the scriptures today, take them this week, evangelize yourself. Do I believe? For he is risen from the dead. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.